welcome to the Essence of Health Tea Time Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Shayla Toombs Withers. As a double board certified family and obesity medicine physician with over 12 years of experience in medicine, I teach motivated individuals how to achieve their desired quality of life while preventing and reversing chronic diseases. It's tea time. What part of your health journey is most challenging? Is it the actual effort of sticking to a plan? The cooking and the meal planning? The exercise routine? Not enough time for everything you think you need to do? Or the confusion of it all? If you said yes to any of these obstacles, then keep listening to learn how you can smash these problems just by checking your email. You check your email inbox every day already, but what if checking your inbox brought you better health instead of the stress it sometimes can bring? Well, I have news for you. You can improve your health, get a jump start on improving your health conditions, and start to feel like a better version of you just by checking your email inbox over the next 5 days when you join the free Nourish and Flourish 5-Day Challenge. You'll get health tips, actionable videos, a goal and habit tracker, and healthy recipes every day for 5 days. Better health is the best investment you'll ever make. And this is only a small investment of your time. You have nothing to lose, but everything to gain. The Nourish and Flourish 5-Day Challenge was designed to set the foundation for healthy habits for life. Say yes to yourself today and sign up now at drshayla.com/NF Challenge. I'll also place these details in the show notes. The essence of health is in you. See you in your inbox. On today's episode of the Essence of Health Tea Time Podcast, I have a special guest. Karen Krill is a seasoned gardener with over 30 years of experience cultivating her own backyard vegetable gardens. After a successful career as a nurse, Karen decided to share her passion for gardening by becoming a certified garden coach. Through her company, Garden Chick, she offers personalized garden consultations, private coaching, and local gardening workshops. Karen has created her signature online garden course, the No Fuss Garden, which provides clear and concise guidance for beginners looking to grow their own vegetables without the overwhelming complexity often associated with gardening. Karen's expertise lies in simplifying the gardening process and empowering busy individuals to create thriving gardens. Welcome to the show, Karen. I'm excited to have you here today.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. So we'll dive right in here. Now, as a fellow healthcare person, what motivated you to start gardening yourself? And then how has that even transformed your personal approach to health and wellness?
I think back in the 70s, I'm dating myself, but my oldest son was young, and that was when they first started, Earth Day. So I started growing my vegetables then as a way to teach him and now his younger brother how to grow their own vegetables. But I also became a little concerned about what was going in our food and just the impact of vegetables getting from, say, California all the way to your grocery store. So this was a way for me to have a little bit of impact on that, as a way to supplement what I did by.
Yeah, that's great. And, you mentioned that really it was your child who was that, motivating factor for you. And even with them, part of my own health journey as well, it was after having kids that I really wanted to even take better care of myself. And it's so funny how as parents and moms, you strive to do these things to give your kids even more than what you had or what, you knew to impart these things. And so I think that's really great that you did that. And then also, even just incorporating vegetables for children. We know that they're important for them to eat, but sometimes that can be challenging. But I'm sure you can tell us more about that. How was that introducing by them having grown their vegetables
Absolutely.
To eat them more?
Yeah, it's a good way to encourage kids. First, they're in the process of planting and tending the garden, and then being able to harvest that because most kids do really don't know where their food comes from. They go to the grocery store and there's a tomato, so they have no idea how it gets there. So that was another good way. And yes, I agree with you. As you start to have children, you know, I came from the generation where I remember my dad gardening, and there was no organic principles at all. It was, you know, seven dust all over everything. And so I really didn't know a different way. And once I started having kids, I thought, wait, I'm not sure if I want all of that to be on my kids' food.
And so, even going more into that, explain the difference for us. You mentioned about the grocery store produce versus things that you freshly pick. So just explain, from a nutritional standpoint, what you found those differences to be.
Well, for example, let's just take a tomato. When you go and pick a tomato off of the vine in your backyard or your deck, it's what they call nutrient dense. It's absolutely full of vitamins and minerals and all sorts of good things. And then when you compare that to a tomato that you go to the grocery store, most of the time, especially if you're doing that in the winter when it's not natural to have tomatoes where we live, those have been shipped about 1500 miles, usually from California or Mexico or South Florida. Well, they want to be able to preserve that. So those tomatoes are actually sprayed with something to keep them from ripening, and they're stored. Once they're ready to travel to us, they are then sprayed again with something called ethylene gas, which is what tomatoes naturally put out to ripen. And then they are ripened and sent to the stores. So those tomatoes on your shelf could be weeks and weeks old.
Wow, that's amazing.
So you
It
know you've lost a lot of the
Right, a
nutrients
lot
in
of
that
those
way.
nutrients. Yeah, but that also
Absolutely.
explains too, when you see them, they have kind of this pretty color, but they've probably been sprayed, with an
Absolutely. And
agent.
they spray them with wax and all sorts of things to preserve them.
I've heard that about the wax as well. And then you can taste the difference though,
Oh,
because I know
there's
I can
nothing as
certainly.
good.
Right, yeah,
Nothing.
you get one of those fresh, juicy tomatoes from the sun that's been out there that you've grown versus one in the store. It definitely has
Absolutely.
a
So yes,
different
it
flavor.
just has a lot more, lots more nutritional value. And not only that, you have control over what has gone on that tomato. I garden organically, and I have for years, and I've never had to spray anything on any of my plants because I do some companion planting and things like that. So
Yeah, that's great. You mentioned even with the example of the tomato about how, it may not even be in season where you live and you have this fruit or this vegetable now in your grocery store. So why is it even important to have a seasonal produce?
well, for one thing, again, it's because it's not natural. You know, I live in the Chattanooga, Tennessee area, so right now it's cool season. So that means I could plant all of the tomatoes I wanted and they're not going to grow. So in order to have a tomato in November, then I do have to get it from 1500 miles away. So when you eat seasonally, for example, again, this is the cool season. So we're looking at leafy greens, spinach, arugula, lettuce, Swiss chard, collard greens, mustard greens, broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage. All of those things are you are growing. So once again, they are more nutrient dense. You have control over what goes over them. And then you go into the warm season. And for us, it's always wherever you live, it's always right, it's after your last frost. So for me, they can put all the tomato plants they want in the garden center in April. I will not grow tomatoes until a couple of weeks after May, because they will not tolerate cool weather. So when you eat seasonally, you are providing yourself with all of those vegetables and get all the benefits of those nutrients. that you're not going to
really
get.
Optimizing.
Absolutely. Because you can still get a tomato in December, but we all know how those tomatoes, those, to me, they're like pink. There's never a good, never a good red tomato. And so you're sacrificing nutrition. I'd just rather not have a tomato.
Right.
In November.
Because you know
I
it's
usually
not
just
gonna
don't
taste
get
as
them.
Well.
I just,
right.
Yeah, I've just learned that, you know, I won't have a tomato on my salad in October or November. I can go to my garden and get spinach and lettuce and arugula and Swiss chard, but I will not have a tomato. That salad will be made without a tomato.
Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense as well. Yeah. If you're frustrated with your weight, taking more medications than you like to, have been told that you are at risk for the development of a chronic preventable disease, or just are not feeling in the best of health, then I'm talking to you. Why? Because you're tired of fat dieting. You know it's time for a change and you want a sustainable plan to improve your health. If you have found yourself at this place in life, well, I have developed a program that's just for you. It's called The Essence of Health, and it's your prescription for transformation. My goal with this program is to give you the tools needed to create sustainable lifestyle changes within a group coaching setting, along with one-to-one individualized coaching to give you a personalized path to health that's just for you. The benefits are priceless, so join today. Head on over to eohcoaching.com to learn more. The essence of health is in you. And now I know that you work with busy professionals, and I know that we have a lot of busy professional listeners to the Tea Time podcast here. And so for those folks who are looking to start a garden, what are your top three recommendations for low maintenance plants that offer high nutritional value?
Well, for one thing, I always tell people to kind of start small, because that's what happens. People get so excited about gardening and they make the decision they're going to grow their food. And they have this idea, and I see this sometimes with my coaching clients. I'll do a little interview sheet and I'll say, why do you want to garden? And they'll say, I want to provide all of my vegetables.
Yeah.
You know, and preserve it and can. I'm like, oh, wait, whoa, so let's slow down.
Right, 'cause that's going to be a lot.
That's going to be a lot. So let's just start out with a few things. So the very easiest things to plant are things that I'm planting in my garden now. Those are leafy greens. You don't have to go with broccoli. I'll go buy a transplant. But everything else is just put some seeds out, keep them watered. And in 30 days, you're going to have more lettuce and spinach than you can eat. So those are the very easiest things. And then a lot of people may not believe it, but for summer vegetables, tomatoes are very easy to grow. And they're prolific. I mean, I had a little salad tomato that went over an arch between my two garden beds.
Yeah.
And I'm not exaggerating when I tell you I had hundreds of little tomatoes. So they're very easy. But the other thing I always encourage too, when I do gardening classes, is I say, pick three things, just three. There's 100 out there, but pick three, decide what you want to eat and what you can get at the farmer's market, and then learn all you can about that vegetables and how, you know, how easy it is to grow, what you need to do. So start small, pick easy stuff, and then the next year get larger.
Yeah. And that makes sense. That makes sense too, as well. Yeah. To start small. I will be the first to say, I am definitely not a green thumb kind of person. And I was one of those people. My husband, bless him, he will typically grow our garden, and he would ask me, he's like, you know, well, what do we want to grow in the garden this year? And I'm one of those people, just like you mentioned, I'm like, well, I want this and that and that and that, you know, about five or six different things. And he's like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yes.
Let's narrow this down. Yeah. And see what will grow. Another thing we found that was actually pretty easy was zucchini to grow. And really grew really well, more than we expected. There was one time we, you know, had zucchini, it felt like just growing out of our ears. There was just so much of it that we had not planned for. So
That's one of the things I encourage people to. If you have a friend who wants to garden, zucchini is planted by seed. Go get one packet of zucchini. And then share it. And then, you know, don't go out and buy three or four zucchini plants. Just get you a $2.29 pack of zucchini. Plant your first zucchini the middle of May. And then about 2 weeks later, plant some more zucchini. And that way you don't have an abundance come in at one time. And I also tell people when they first start out to do that one zucchini plant and learn how much you can get from it. Like people go out and buy, I mean, and do five of the little salad tomatoes, where you'd have 500 tomatoes.
Yeah, because
So
you
just
mentioned,
start
yeah, you
small
can.
and learn how much you get to harvest. And then you may decide next year you really don't need five different tomato plants.
Yeah, that's definitely a valuable value tip there.
Yes.
Now,
Usually get very excited.
you briefly mentioned about broccoli being a transplant, a type of vegetable. Tell us more about what that means.
That means if you're gonna, I've got broccoli in my garden right now, and broccoli can take about 80 to 90 days to mature. So I have two choices. I can, in July, start my own seeds indoors, which I don't do, or I can wait till they come out in the garden center. And wherever you live, that's one of the ways that you're gonna know if it's time to plant something. Your garden center is going to have it out when it's
Oh,
time to
yeah, that's a
plant
good
it.
idea.
Yes, because if I, you know, if I go to South Florida, they're not going to have broccoli. It's too hot and it's cool season. But for large vegetables, and that's anything like cauliflower, broccoli, I also buy collard greens as a transplant. And all that means is somebody else has done all the work and got it started for you. And it will mature before we get a freeze. If I went out there right now and stuck two broccoli seeds, it wouldn't survive, because then December would hit and it would be a little tiny plant. It would freeze. So in the summer, I choose tomatoes and peppers or eggplants to buy my transplants. But everything else, zucchini, squash, okra, all of those things are just seeds. And one of the ways to kind of cheat, if you'll just go to the garden center and look on the back of a packet of seeds, that broccoli seed packet will say start indoors. So that will show you that this is one of the things that's
Going to
going
be a
to take a
lengthier
long time.
process.
So when I don't buy broccoli seeds, instead I just go and buy the and you know buy two or three. I think I have four broccoli plants. So, but also know that some areas, like where we live, you have a long growing season. So I'm doing cool season vegetables starting the end of August, first of September, and then I can turn right around and do it again in March. So for people who have short growing seasons, they may not have but two seasons to grow, but luckily I have
Have to be a little
three.
more
So
mindful
if
of that.
I buy a bunch of lettuce seeds and they're left over, I'll just use them again in the spring. You can keep seeds, you know, a couple of years.
Well, thank you for that. Now, for someone who may be in a limited space, folks who may stay in apartments or even condos, even, what are some tips that they can still, start with a small garden with? I know you mentioned some of the plants that are indoors, but are there even some things that they can just mostly keep indoors or put out on a patio? What do you usually suggest?
Yes, if you have, this is one of the things that's is non-negotiable when you're growing plants, and especially those summer vegetables that are sun-loving. You have to have at least 6 hours of direct sunlight. And by that, I always tell my clients, because I was surprised someone told me they had sunlight and they didn't. They thought if it was sunny outside,
Then that was
they
me.
had enough sunlight.
That doesn't mean it's shining where you are.
Right. So I told her afterwards, I said, just imagine yourself out on the beach. And there's nothing around you. There's no umbrella to cast shade for, you know, hours on that space. So you have to have direct sunlight. They have to have sunlight for photosynthesis, especially tomatoes and peppers have to have like 8 or 10 hours to grow fruit. So the first thing you want to do, it's okay, it doesn't matter where you do that. You can do it out on your patio. My little brick patio has 8 hours of sun a day if I wanted to use it. So just be sure that wherever you want to do it has 8 hours, 6 to 8 hours of sun. The next thing is, I think the gardening industry has heard that people do not have big, huge yards or they don't have time now. So they've heard that and they're making more and more container friendly. So again, for an example, if you go to the garden center and you're looking at carrots, you can pick up 3 or 4 different packets, but one of those right in the corner will may have like a little, looks like a little terracotta pot, and it will say container friendly. And so what they're doing is they're making them smaller so people can put them in a container.
I have seen tomatoes that way where they'll have the container friendly.
Yes, and they just do not get as large because that's another, you know, that's another thing. I don't think people realize that, you know, that Better Boy tomato that's delicious that you slice will get to be 7 feet tall.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So if you put it in a container and it doesn't have a big cage around it, or I have one client that what she did, it gets a lot of sun and she put it up against a wall that she put a trellis on.
Okay.
Because they do need to grow up. So yeah, if you don't have a lot of space, just try to, that may be one of the things that you can grow all the lettuce and spinach and carrots. You can grow peppers in containers, but you're going to go to the farmer's market and get your tomatoes. You may just have to decide that's not one of the things that I can grow. But things like jalapeno peppers, banana peppers, those all do great in a container. And I've actually grown them myself just to have more space in my garden. Right. Things like bell peppers you may want to get at the farmer's market. They do get heavy and they'll have a tendency to fall over if you don't put a cage around them. But I think one of the other things that are easy to grow are herbs. And herbs do great in containers. I have herbs directly in my garden beds, but I also have things like mint in containers. One of my coaching clients had a sunny deck that when she came out of her kitchen, and so she had her tomatoes and things. But what we did is she had those, you know, over the rail baskets, you've seen those that people put flowers in,
right?
That was her herbs. She grew oregano and chives and basil.
That's a neat idea.
And they just hung right over her rail and she could walk right out of her kitchen and get those.
Grab some. Yeah.
So there's sometimes you have to just compromise or improvise a little bit, but there's lots of ways to be able to grow anywhere you live, just about.
Right. Which is nice. So even like you mentioned, even if you have to supplement some by going to the farmer's market or the grocery store, at least you can still get some things that'll be fresh and can still get some of those nutrients that we know are so important to consume and have within our diet as well. So that's great.
Well, I know I do not have enough space for corn. Mm-hmm. And I love corn. So that's not one of the things I'm going to grow.
Right.
And I found a miniature okra this year. So I actually planted okra this year. That's usually one of the things I'll just go to the farmer's market. And I encourage you to go to the farmer's market instead of the grocery store, because those people have brought it right out of the fields, and look for organic growers.
Right.
And there's more and more of those. Mm-hmm.
And it's great to support your local farmers.
Absolutely.
You're still getting the local seasonal produce. You know, you mentioned all of those benefits for our listeners. So I definitely agree with you. Yeah, definitely still support your local farmer's market. Mm-hmm. And even a lot of times, as you mentioned, they will have organically grown the produce for you without, you know, having to slap all the labels and, you know, do all the things.
And I think more and more people, just like the gardening industry who started doing more container plants, I think most farmers now are seeing that that's what people want. Mm-hmm. So they're having to change with that.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah. Agree. Yeah. And you mentioned one of the mistakes that, new gardeners make in terms of, having too many seeds and growing just an overabundance of what they need. What are some of those other common mistakes that you've seen over the years with your coaching clients? And you can just tell us how to avoid some of those.
One of the things is, and I get this a lot, people ask me, they'll say, I planted this squash and I had all of these pretty blooms, but I didn't have any squash. Well, you don't have any flowers around to attract the bees and the butterflies to pollinate it. Those have to be pollinated. So, one of the things I teach is if you're growing it, let's say you're growing it in a container, not a raised bed like mine. If you're growing it in a container, put a pot of zinnias just beside it to draw in those pollinators.
I would have never thought of that, but that you're right. They're flowers, the squash blossoms.
Well,
Yeah,
and
that makes total
if
sense.
you think about it, there was all of those talk about how the bees just about got all of the insecticides and
Right.
pesticides damaged the bee population and how that was affecting, farmers. And
Right.
farmers actually bring in hives of bees to place next to their crops to pollinate it. Yeah, it has to get there somewhere.
Right.
So that way, I've been gardening for so long and been doing it for a long time that I already have a lot of those in place. So they just seem like they just keep coming back year after year. But for new clients who maybe when we go look at their garden space and there's nothing around, then we have to incorporate those things. And then I guess a big question I get is about pests. They'll say, I planted my broccoli and it was eat up in 3 days. Well, it will be. You have to cover it with insect netting. Don't worry about pesticides. And that's one of the things that you learn as you grow, as you start growing. And that's why I tell people, if you want to grow broccoli this year, here's what you need to do to have a successful. You're going to have to cover it with insect netting, or you're going to go out there in 4 days. And this little cabbage moth has done her reproduction thing where she's got 100 little eggs on there. And now you've got 100 little green worms that have
Oh gosh.
eaten it. So that's why you just need to learn what things
Right.
have pests. When I
And
grow
that's the
ginger,
importance too of individuals like yourself and having a
yeah, because
coach
you
and some
don't.
guidance, someone who's an expert on board on your team
Well,
there.
and that's what I tell people when they say, and you said, I don't have a green thumb. Well, you really do. You do.
I don't know about that. Even a house plant is challenging.
You sound like my friends who this morning I told them to be sure and bring their house plants in. And one of them said, I don't have any outside. I forgot to water them. I'm like, well, you can't forget to water. But yeah, so I mean, it is. It's, and I mean, I wasn't always this way. When I started out, I grabbed a tiller. I did row gardens. I just fought weeds all summer long. They got eat up. So it just took a little time. And yeah,
It takes work, as with
it
anything.
does not a
It takes
whole lot
work,
once you
right.
get it. He goes, I garden in raised beds. And that's one of the things that I encourage people to do.
Yeah, that's great.
So.
Now, mention for us, a little bit about those physical and those mental health benefits that you or even some of your coaching clients may have found just from the actual activity of gardening.
Well, I think one thing about gardening is, I mean, again, I don't bring out the tiller and I get out there and do a lot of physical exercise, but just, and I have raised beds after 42 years. I'm, of nursing, my back's not what it used to be. So I have raised beds that don't require that I bend way over and do things. So I get out there and, every morning I walk out to my garden. I look around to see if there's any pests. I just kind of water and it just gets some movement in there.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest benefit is sunlight and fresh air. As we all, especially better than me, but like with vitamin D, how important sunlight is, and how as we get older, like me, it's good for my bone health. It's also good for depression and increases, I think, serotonin. One of the things I was reading the other day and I've started doing is After I get up in the morning and I have to have my coffee, or I wouldn't be able to, nobody could live with me. I take my coffee out on my deck and I sit for about 10 minutes, because studies have shown that 10 minutes of sunlight in the morning kind of resets your circadian rhythm,
It does.
where it helps you sleep better at night.
Yep.
So there's physical benefits to gardening, just because some people are, never get out in their yard and walk around. But I think there's also the emotional benefits and also the physical benefits
Yeah, you're
of
certainly
gardening.
right. Yeah, and I'm glad you shared those. And as you mentioned, I often even share with my clients as well, the exercise is good, but if you can take it up that next step and get that movement outdoors, then
Yes.
you'll naturally get more of those benefits because of the sunlight that helps to release those happy hormones within our brain. And then that oxygen you're breathing in, that fresh air, and you're opening, even, the way you mentioned setting your circadian rhythms and important for your balance and your sleep. When you go out in the sunlight, it triggers to your brain, hey, it's time to be awake. And so that by the time it's time to go to bed, then it will. It has you on a nice, healthful rhythm there for your body as well. So,
Well, and I've noticed one thing. If I'll just start early in the morning, and like, see, I have chickens, so I have to go let my chickens out too. But I have found that once I walk across my backyard and just get that movement going, then sometimes I'll be out there for 30 minutes. I'll go to the chickens, then I'll go back and
You're
I'll see
feeling
something in
good.
the
And so
yard.
it's just, yeah, keep
And
tuning.
I actually have a neighbor across the street that he and his wife walk up and down their driveway. So there's no reason I can't get in 1,000 steps, if, even if I'm walking circles in my backyard, But once just getting started is all you need. And sometimes your garden will kind of be the I guess the impetus for that. Once you're out there, it's like, oh, I think I'll just stay a little longer. I put my earbuds in a lot of times and listen to your podcast and other podcasts.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Great. Well, I've just been, enjoyed chatting with you and
Thank
having you
you.
on the podcast today, Miss Karen. Now, before I let you go, can you share with the audience how they can connect with you?
I think the best way is to go to my website. It's Garden Chick, all one word, CHICK, gardenchick.com. And the first thing to do is just sign up for my newsletter. That's where you're going to get all of my good gardening tips. My website's also a blog, so just scroll down through there and see all the things that garden related that I've written. But I think that's the best thing to do is just sign up for the newsletter, and I send it out once a week and give you some good information in there if you like to garden.
Awesome. And listeners, as you can see, she is just a wealth of information here. So definitely go and sign up for that newsletter and
Thank
get
you.
those tips for sure. And I'll share those in the show notes. So for anyone listening or watching, you'll be able to also grab those direct links to Garden Chick so that you can get started on your garden this year.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate
Thank you for joining me today on the Essence of Health Tea Time podcast. Click the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform so that you never miss a moment of the Essence of Health Tea Time podcast. Check out the show notes to obtain your free tips for healthy living guide to get you started on your health and wellness path. Follow me on social media at Essence of Health Wellness Clinic on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And at dr.tw@eohwc on TikTok. Interested in becoming a member of the Essence of Health Coaching Program? Well, head on over to www.eohcoaching.com. The Essence of Health is in you.